You are about to journey against the current of contemporary thought and beyond the troubled waters of daily news to the very source of our extraordinary culture. You are going upstream with Cashel and Edge.
Hey, welcome to our show, Loy, and welcome to the world.
Thanks, Jack. Good to be here with you.
You just came in from the country of Durango, I'm told. Is that right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, I don't think there is one. So
we're going to talk about the residents of the Johnson County Jail. One of the, you know, all the various countries they come from. It's kind of shocking.
A lot of them.
But then one of them is listed as Durango, right?
Yeah, I don't know what that's going.
I can imagine
it's a Dodge truck, I think.
I've been in there.
Town in Colorado.
I've been there. But I can imagine it, like, let's say a new clerk at the Johnson County Courthouse who's not up to speed on geography. And,
right, yeah.
Where are you from? What country are you from? Durango.
Great.
Sounds like a great vacation resort. We're, our subject of our show this this week is up here on the board. If those who can see it, we'll turn to that for a second.
Did that come right off of your car?
Yeah, it did. I took
or your
bumper,
yard.
I took a photo of my bumper sticker.
Uh-huh.
And had it printed up there.
What a great, great idea. What a kumbaya moment. You know, if only, Jack. We can dream. We can dream.
We can dream, can't we? Just to walk through those, for those who aren't familiar with the symbolisms. The first one is, of course, the Muslim crescent that passes for a C.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the peace symbol. Mm-hmm. And that's not a Mercedes logo.
No, it's not.
Although young people.
Even though the kids from East think it is.
Now, the next one, I think, is the E gets moved around. Some of it's like that energy sign, meaning science. I think this is about men and women or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Men and women together as and one E. Under
as
E.
One E.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. E pluribus unum.
Uh-huh.
E out of many. Then we have the Star of David, which is getting along brilliantly lately with the C and crescent.
Not really a Jewish symbol, by the way.
It's a lot of other people's symbols as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's somehow become adopted as a symbol of Judaism, but it traditionally was not.
Okay.
Now it is all of a sudden.
Now the eye is, the eye itself is benign, and you know.
Oh, what do we got on top of that eye? Wait a minute. That's a pentagram.
That's exactly right.
So that's Wiccan, witchcraft.
Church of Satan.
Church of Satan.
Anton LaVey, one of the great historical characters.
I know some kids in the Satan Club, so yeah, to hang out with
which
them.
Is an anagram for Santa, so beware.
Okay.
The S is the yin-yang sign.
Yeah, that's Taoist or something?
I don't know, some vague religion or made-up religion.
Some of that religious stuff.
And then, of course, the T is the Christian cross.
A kind of one I have, with which I'm not quite familiar. I don't know.
But it's made to look more like a T, so that it fits into the fortune cookie sentiment expressed here, coexist. It's been a rough period for the coexist crowd.
I wonder who did that. It's moral relativism. Secular humanism.
Yeah, it is.
Really.
It is. I was just reading quickly the history of it. The original guy who did the original one was a Polish guy, and it did it after September 11th, you know, trying to, you know, drum up a little goodwill or basically to dissuade the Western world from attacking Islam. And it only had the C, the X, and the T, the Christian, the Jewish, and the Christian and the Muslim. Then they've expanded it over time and they've added their own little, like someone snuck that pentagram in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the way they work.
They
sneak that stuff in.
It reminds me of when the cars had fins and chrome and they went so far that all of a sudden it just collapsed and they just said, the hell with all these fins and chrome. Let's start over.
Right.
And strip
it became
it down.
Just everything became like a parody of the year before.
Yeah, a parody, exactly.
You want a bigger fin, you want a bigger hood. I remember going to the Indianapolis 500 once when I was young, and being able to sleep on the hood of a car comfortably, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the days. I can't do that.
I haven't done that for months.
Yeah, right. I don't recommend it, but it was, you know, after like the case of beer, it probably it seemed kind of comfortable. Anyhow, that's the message today. And this has been, this is no small thing, because the coexist bumper sticker really kind of is emblematic of what the Democratic strategy has been for these last 20 years. And that is a whole intersectional coalition of these disparate forces, but that have in common only one thing.
Let me guess. Victimhood?
Victimhood, right. Their sense of oppression. They're all marginalized.
Yes. And who marginalizes them?
The oppressor, right? And the oppressor has been winnowed down to a very small class of people that includes you and I and about half dozen other white guys.
That's it.
We're the oppressors now. We get to oppress.
We have a way out of it, though.
Yes, we can. And that's the brilliance of that whole movement.
That's right.
And it's overlooked. So why all of a sudden are boys wanting to become girls or girls become boys?
Because they want a ticket out of that. They want victimhood.
That's the quickest way they can do it.
You know, maybe they ought to get rid of the peace sign since they're not really practicing that one. They're,
right.
They're the warmongers.
Right.
They should put lipstick and heels on the O.
like a little Mickey. That was at the M&Ms, right? Before they were...
Yeah, a beer belly with lipstick and a heels.
Before they were desexualized. Remember they desexualized the M&Ms? Because the M&M girl had heels and she looked kind of feminine.
She was kind of hot, actually.
Yeah, right. And now these...
My type of M&M.
Right. And now they made her, just into like some unisex M&M that no one could want. Now,
they should just make them all kind of beige.
Right, ready for the WNBA. The whole coalition was based on that phenomenon, and it worked very well. Say what you will about Barack Obama, but his great strength as a president, at least as a party leader, was...
Would say what I will about Barack Obama, but we're on YouTube and we get jerked. Go ahead.
His ability to hold that whole coalition together. And you could sum up his strength in one joke, which I, of course, would never tell.
No.
But I'm only mentioning it here.
Passing it along, maybe.
As an example. Of the kind of humor that I find personally offensive.
Me too. I haven't even heard it yet, but it pumps me out. I mean, I'm hurt. It's hurtful, but go ahead.
Maybe I'll come back to it.
Must be pretty good. That's all I can say.
Because,
I brought you some wine.
Oh, thank you.
Try not to crackle it when I'm talking this time. Thank you.
Now my ventriloquist dunny will talk. No, because I'm not allowed to laugh at this joke.
Okay.
And I've already ruined it. Because I've set this up as something that offends me.
Okay.
And I'm afraid I'm going to laugh at it, even after I tell my own joke.
Hmm.
And it's not that funny, but it is indicative.
Okay.
I'll come back.
So those coexist stickers there, you know, if you're ever lost, you need a cup of coffee, you're on the road,
you want
some, a cappuccino or something fancy.
Yeah.
Just follow somebody with that sticker on their car. You're going to be there in about 6 minutes.
But here's the problem. If your car breaks down and you need help, there are going to be absolutely no help at all, you know?
Well, actually, 1% of people with a coexist sticker have jumper cables.
Right. Whereas 90% of the people without them have jumper cables. It's probably about 5 years ago now. We had a big snowstorm here in Kansas City, and it's happened at I live on a corner, you know, kind of a sharp hairpin, and a car got stuck in the snow. It was pretty deep at that point. And it was a couple of if it hadn't been so cold, they'd been wearing Birkenstocks. You know, you could tell. I mean, is a couple. They're, she has straggly gray hair, and you know, and they just shout university professor, and they're stuck. And I try to help them out of the shoveling. I can do it. And then a young guy pulls up in a big ass pickup truck with an NRA bumper sticker on the back, takes out his chain, right? Yeah, ties it to their bumper, pulls them out, you know, and now they don't know what to think. They're coexisting now. They're actually having a coexist moment, but they're not sure they want it. They're not sure they want to have that moment verified. And this guy was so good. I mean, so like the poster child for, you know, the MAGA movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like the poster children for the coexist movement. So, you know, no, they're not very much help when your car is stuck or you have a breakdown, you know.
Well, if the SH is TF one of these days.
SHTF?
If the you know
oh,
what
yes, okay,
it hits
yeah.
the fan.
Right, gotcha.
The coexist sticker cars are not going to be out there, you know, like saving everybody's butt.
No, they're not. That's not their strength. No. I'm not sure what their strength is, but that's not.
Their strength is.
Right.
Did you want decaf or regular?
Right. Or they could identify like 36 shades of coffee at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but here's the thing, too, is when they break down, this includes males. If their car breaks down, they're allowed to cry.
Well, yeah.
Because what else would you do when your car breaks down, right?
Right.
So when the United States gets hit by an EMP attack,
mm-hmm.
they'll all have an all-hands meeting, and they'll mm-hmm. hug each other
it's
and cry.
It's a hug session, yeah. A huggle session.
Actually, they did that after they had their, sort of introduction to apocalypse in November 2016 when Trump won, right?
Yeah.
That for them was an introduction to the end of the world. And at Google, they had literally had an all hands meeting to discuss, and they were weeping and hugging each other.
They hugged it out.
Yeah, they hugged it out, right. So they coexist.
I'll tell you what, when they didn't have a hug session.
When's that?
COVID.
Ah, yes, gosh. They retreated into their little cubby holes.
There was no hugging.
Right, no hugging at all.
Mm-mm.
So, no, and they were, in fact, I'm reading Naomi Wolf's book.
You like her.
I like Naomi.
You? Yeah, me too.
It's unrequited, but as far as I know, that'll change.
Yeah, one of these days.
One of these days. Although, you know what she did? Naomi Wolf, for those people who don't know, was the poster girl for the feminist left for, I mean, seriously.
She was the strategist behind making Al Gore look like Ronald Reagan in the debates.
Right, like a real human being, you know?
Yep.
She debodified him.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite enough.
Tried
but,
to.
Yeah.
Came off ridiculously, but.
And she was, wrote The Feminine Mystique. Not The Feminine Mystique.
No, that was Gloria Steinem. No, that was that other one.
Betty Friedan.
Betty Friedan, yeah.
But she was like the.
Bravo. Really what a the, babe.
The poster. No, Betty Friedan was in another class of feminists. Naomi Wolf was actually good looking, which is
her
disconcerting.
She was.
She's kind of a little chunky, but otherwise she still looks pretty good.
Oh, Jack, me had to ruin it.
She does that only to temper the enthusiasm of her newfound friends on the right. See, because as long as she was a leftist, she was never bothered by men.
No.
Because their testosterone counts are so low, they never recognized that she was pretty hot.
They weren't seduced by that beautiful, lush head of hair that
she had. Oh, great head of hair.
Oh, man.
But here's the thing. She's been seriously red-pilled, but she's married. She's married now to a guy who's like a special forces guy, right, who can take care of her. And she has a chapter on her book, the one I'm reading now, Facing the Beast, in which she learns to appreciate the Second Amendment. And now she's out of rifle ranges and shooting.
She seems to me like, because I've heard her many interviews with her, many, countless, that she'd be a good writer. You're a writer. You're reading the book. So where does she rate?
At the top. She's an excellent writer.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And she writes her own stuff. And, you know, she was writing books even when she was writing stupidly about stuff. But you're right on COVID. And she talks about what happened to her tribe. She's Jewish, but she didn't mean tribe in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
She meant the intellectual elite of East Coast.
Academia and
right.
such.
And she was like, she's the kind of woman who gets invited to dinner parties with heads of state and presidents and that sort of thing. She was floating around at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they totally cut her off when she started challenging all the COVID mythology. I mean, totally cut her off. She's very eloquent on this subject. And the second book, Facing the Beast, is an angry book about the consequences of seeking the truth in her world, right? So you that thing goes away. The coexist bumper sticker is off, you know? Whatever letter she gets, it's like the pariah letter, you know? It's like Q, like as in QAnon or something.
Yeah.
You're a QAnon fanatic. And
well, of course, it represent it is the meaning is antithetical to the representation, as with everything.
Right.
Virtue signaling.
Right.
This is an ultimate virtue signal, and of course, it's BS. There is no. Look at the left right now.
Right.
Look at what's happening.
Yeah.
Look at the phoniness behind the peace sign, for example. Look who their representatives are. They're the big money warmongers. They're the military machine. They're the people that are bringing us, have been bringing us war for 100 years.
Right.
Plus.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
You look at the Star of David.
Go to the University of Columbia campus or Texas or Yale or Minnesota. And you see the peace symbol, that's out, right?
That's out, gone.
The C's and the X's are, well, the C's are at the X's throat. The X's aren't attacking the C's. I crowd, the pentagram crowd is...
Which is above all, by the way.
Right, exactly. It's the only one that floats above the rest.
That's right.
They're having a field day. I mean, it's Satan's holiday at on the campus. And... men and women, who knows what's going on in that regard? There's probably not much of it. Christians, I don't think have a role in this, because at a place like the Christianity, at a place like Columbia, is like interfaith, which means faithless. It's just another word for when I see the word interfaith, it's like you know.
It's like the term liberal. Yeah. Illiberal is what they really mean.
Right, right. And so the whole phenomenon is under incredible stress right now. Mm-hmm. They've been able to fake it for a long time, you know. And so what happens, I'm gonna enjoy this, I think. It's what happens in Chicago this summer at the Democratic National Convention when all these little letters show up together, right?
Mm. It's going to be a summer of love, baby.
It is. And blacks don't even get their letter, right? I mean,
yeah.
BLM, they had three letters, BLM, that doesn't fit into the COA exists. Yeah, plus you have LGBTQ, you have BLM, and then you got coexist, and
boy, it's going to be a victims' convention par excellence.
Well, they're fighting for the top of that hierarchy, right?
They are. Well, all liberal logic, leftist logic, is circular.
Yeah.
Which is like, as I say, that's why they can't have a talk show.
Right.
It's and all circular. It all comes down. It's zero sum.
Right.
And it just circles the drain.
It circles it.
And unfortunately, we're in maybe the fifth spin on circling the drain right now in many ways.
Well, it's like, you know, there's a book called like The Fourth Turning.
Yes.
This could be the fifth circling. You could write your own book on this.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, you can call, and you notice how everybody's realizing it at almost the same time.
Yeah.
And that people are fed up at the same time at the just going, wait a minute.
Right.
I think this is what I used to call the baby Huey moment.
Yeah.
I think it's upon us. Hey, wait a minute. You're the fox and you're trying to kill me. The baby Huey moment is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and people are catching on.
They're catching. You could call it, if you were theocratic, you'd call it the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If you were a demographic guy, you'd call it the fourth turning,
right,
or whatever. Or if you were, you know, it's the turning point. It's the
inflection point.
Whatever it is, I think it's on our doorstep.
You know, inflection point was the word of the day for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think people got so sick of hearing each other say it that we moved beyond the inflection point. It's no longer there. You know, we've passed the inflection point on the use of the word inflection.
So will it become as obsolete as the Coexist sticker? Will these become a collector's item?
I hope so. I think that it'll have a kind of a humorous value going down the road, you know, an ironic value, like, you know, what's an example?
United Nations.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully. Which, or UNICEF, you know.
UNICEF.
Well, another one of those. When they sneak in a bunch of an acronym, you know, you know you're in trouble. If it's a real good thing, they just say it outright.
We got anachronisms out the wazoo.
Yeah, we do. Anyhow, a Muslim, a communist, and a homosexual walk into a bar.
Okay.
This is a joke I would not tell. I'm just pointing this out.
I think I already heard someone not tell this. Go ahead.
And the bartender turns around and says, "What can I get for you, Mr. President?" You've heard that before.
And I got up and walked out.
I did too. I'm appalled. You know, you don't hear me laughing at that joke,
no,
do you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
You pre-laughed.
I had preemptive laughing at that joke. But that was Obama's gift. He was all of these things.
Yes,
right?
He was.
He was kind of Muslim. He was kind of Christian. Kind of straight. Kind of not straight. You know.
It is a patchwork of victimhood, and it's like the thing that's good about it, that's fun.
Yeah.
Is that that these guys are now, they're professional cat herders.
That's it.
And so they eat each other.
Yeah.
Basically, eventually they eat each other.
They scratch
each other's eyes out. So you build up chaos and disillusionment and malcontents and all. I mean, everything bad that's chaotic and disruptive, you stimulate that as hard as you can, any way you can, and you try to herd cats.
That's it.
And so it's the opposite of what you would do to rally anyone normally to a cause.
Right.
People have to understand what's going on with this.
They're beginning to open up their eyes. And that's why it's so encouraging to see people who've been, you know, one of my Naomi Wolf's points is that it doesn't trouble her so much that the people in her tribe, her former tribe, fell for the whole fascistic impulses of the COVID movement. It troubles her that they haven't apologized.
Mm.
You know, so they've been able to scoot away. She wants a Nuremberg trials. I mean, she's really pretty hardcore about this. But
well, anyone who's been betrayed, victimized by psychopaths or sociopaths,
yeah,
you can, when you finally figure it out, what their motives were and all those things. And you become content with separation from them.
Right.
But the thing that always bugs you, the door that you leave open is if there were a full and sincere apology.
Right.
They would get you again. You'd let them back into your life.
Right, that's right. It's the whole Catholic thing, right?
A full and sincere apology.
Right.
So she's holding on to that little bitty piece that we all hold on to when we've been severely betrayed.
Yeah.
And fortunately or unfortunately, that never comes.
No, and she has another class of enemy, and this is an interesting one. It's all the people who emailed or texted her while she was being drummed out of the tribe saying, "Boy, I really like what you're doing. I really support you. I wish I could come out and do it publicly because A, B, C, D, E." And A, B, C, D, and E were all total BS answers, right? And what was it? There was a quote about the hottest places of hell are for those who insist on neutrality in a time of crisis, right?
Mm.
These people. She goes, they're worse than the other people. They at least know what's going on, and they won't stand up and admit it. I'll give you an example. Get back to Barack Obama, you know, chief of intersectionality. Coexistence, the queen of coexistence. Oh, I'm sorry, king of coexistence. You know where he went to college, right? Where he graduated?
Yeah, there were three alleged colleges.
Right.
But Columbia is the one that he, I think,
claims a degree from,
yeah.
And given all the ruckus at Columbia, where has he been? Where is he coming out and saying something
coming
about
out.
He's too preoccupied with coming out. But this is when we're recording this. It's been at least a week, 10 days since the Columbia thing started bursting out. He has yet to use the words Columbia or Hamas. I've been tracking his tweets. You know, he did show himself at a Seder, S-E-D-E-R, party. You know, and he says something like, he says coexist.
Does he?
And not in so many words. People of all faiths should come together, right? That's all he has to say? It's your campus? And by the way,
that's moral relativism and secular humanism.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even name a faith by name or...
No.
It's drive-by religiosity.
Interfaithiosity. Yeah, right. Two myths I'm going to refute right here. One is that he did go to Columbia and did graduate.
Okay.
I've seen the hard copy of the graduation program. Okay, going back to my...
It wasn't dummied up like the birth certificate?
No.
Okay.
Going back to my logical positivist joke, I should say, I can't say that I know that he graduated. I said, I know that his name was in the graduation program.
Okay.
Anyone, right, capable of... I've got Perkins Coie get to come back in and add his name. The other thing is, I know this comes as a major shock and disappointment to many Obama fans out there, but Michelle actually is a female, so there.
Mm, wow.
And people who are...
Boy, am I glad.
Right? That opens up, if something happens to Barack, she's, it's clear sailing for you. You won't have the moral qualm of going after a tranny.
Yeah, this is another hottie.
Now, people who are on the left and hear me say, definitively that Michelle is a female are thinking, what is he... Why is he even bringing this up, right? Well, anyhow, it can happen. No, he said nothing. I just... Such pure moral cowardice. And then Biden shows up.
It's not cowardice.
It's calculation.
Yeah.
Biden shows up and says very much the equivalent of, there's fine people on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not in those exact words, but in so many words.
You got to protect the people of Israel. And then... Not only that, but
there's
good people on the Islamic. You got to watch the Jews. But Islamics is pretty good too.
Pause. Four more years.
Four more years. Four more years. Exclamation mark. Exclamation mark. Four more years.
Well, he was lucky he didn't get eaten by cannibals on the way to the press conference.
Boy, that was a harrowing story. Poor old Uncle Bodie or
Brozy,
whatever.
Brozy. Brozy, yeah.
Yeah. Rotten cannibals hanging around floating on rafts out in the middle of the ocean, just waiting for some of that delicious chomp chomp white meat. Mm-mm.
My favorite meme, in a sense that appalled me most,
mm-hmm.
and that I found as indicative of the collapsed state of right-wing American culture, and something, in fact, I may even call 911 while we're here just to report this meme, is a picture of a cannibal. I'll just stop again. I'm in a silly mood today. Picture of a cannibal looks very much like Barack Obama, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, saw it.
And a guy looks like Joe Biden sitting in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, my relatives ate your relatives. Can you imagine someone putting a meme
together
like that?
No, that disgusts me.
Disgusts me.
Ah. So this one's going to be in the ash heap of history.
It already is.
What other ones have we kissed goodbye recently? I know one. End this endless war. End these endless wars.
Or question authority.
Yeah, question authority. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the end this endless wars one, some people have had those stickers on all the way through the Obama administration.
Right.
And I would always say something to them.
Right.
When they had that on during the Obama administration, I'd go, I really agree with your sticker.
Yeah.
And they'd go, what?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. The other notice of interest here in Kansas City, our mayor has gotten international attention.
Oh, man, he's on it.
Yeah.
He's TCB, as Elvis would say, taking care of business.
His name is Quentin Lucas. Quentin? Quinton, Quinton, just to make him distinct from the Quentins out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want to end up in, there is no San Quentin, you know, it's a San Quentin. But he put out an appeal. Like, I mean, it's like the lady who, what's it, Emma Lazarus, like, appeal. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And he said, come on to Kansas City, right?
Calling all criminals, calling all criminals.
And we even have a song, right? No other city has a song quite like ours to welcome, you know, every, you know, last deadbeat from, you know, from Yukon to Tierra del Fuego, you know. And they hear that bell ringing. That bell ain't going to unring. He's had to walk it back because he realized that it wasn't really very popular to say among any group, even among his friends who were embarrassed for their potential political downside of it. You know, it's because if I'm running for office as a Republican, he's my poster boy for the Democratic mind right now. Come bring all your huddled masses to Kansas City because we got a song, Wilbur Harrison, coming to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come. They got some crazy little women there.
I love the way they always quote that poem.
Yeah.
On that statue that France gave us.
The Trojans.
And the Trojan statue. That they treat it with reverence like it's part of the founding documents.
Yeah, right.
Well, how about give me your huddled masses and blah, blah. It's like, well, you know any other poems?
Yeah, right.
That's cute.
Right, right. You're right. That's exactly right. It's become part of it's like separation of state. One of those phrases comes in a letter someplace from Thomas Jefferson or someone. And then all of a sudden we're supposed to make believe it's part of our Constitution. Now that's.
Do you talk about all the foreigners he's inviting? Are the what's the polite term? Illegal aliens?
That's the impolite term. Some kid got thrown out of school for using that phrase.
Really?
Although it's the technical legal term still.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I got a little list here of, now, you might not be aware, there is no jail in KCMO. They don't have a jail. They're outsourcing their jailing to, some county holding facility or something. There's no Kansas City, Missouri jail now.
Are they rehabbing it or?
I was talking to a police officer who told me that's not the only thing he did was invite. They're also trying to become a sanctuary city officially, which I thought they already were.
I thought they were too, but.
Apparently it hasn't been like.
No, but Lucas said.
Stupid. Right. Stupid.
Mayor Lucas jumped the shark here. Even the. Like people in what had been designated as sanctuary cities like New York and Chicago have walked that one back. They don't want part of that, right? We're a sanctuary city, but we don't, you know, and theoretically. But don't send us, you're tired and you're poor and you're huddled masses. We don't want them.
Right.
Because we put them in migrant hotels and they get in fights in front of the building and embarrass us.
But for our friends in the suburb.
Yeah.
On the Kansas side of Johnson County.
Which is as nice a suburb as there is in America. 600,000 people, big place.
Big place. People very proud of their county.
Right.
Rightfully so. They invest in their law and order.
Yeah.
They have a great sheriff's office. They have great schools.
Cal Hayden, terrific sheriff.
Wonderful sheriff. He's getting attacked by NPR and the Star. Made up crap, but that's another subject. But they've got prisoners in their jail in Johnson County from a few different places, don't they, Jack?
Right. And what the people in Johnson County don't realize in their quest for diversity is they may not have achieved it in their schools and their other institutions, but they have in the county jail.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable tribute.
It is.
To diversity. And diversity, as you know.
Is our strength. And they're coexisting.
Right.
Very nicely there.
Right, they are. Yeah. They all get along. I'm told.
I've heard they share showers even.
Right. Well,
I'm not sure about that.
Well, some of them unwillingly. What are some of the, I mean, there's probably a few Mexicans there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Mexicans, Guatemalans, things you might expect, Hondurans.
Right.
Because we have so such an influx of that. But we got a little list here. This is representative of the people who are in the can right now.
Right now,
in JOCO.
Yeah.
Italy, France, Germany, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, India, Kenya, Cuba, Algeria, Azerbaijan, Philippines, Republic of Congo, Romania, Russia, Venezuela, Vietnam, and Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, of course. I'm impressed by the way you pronounce Azerbaijan.
Well,
I was struggling with it before.
I know Azerbaijan. The capital is Baku.
Have you been there?
No. It's right off the Caspian Sea. It's part of the old Transcaucasian Federated Republic, which consists of Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia.
That is totally impressive. Yeah. But you being a pro-Caucasian individual, you would know about...
I know all about the
Transcaucasians, right? They're Transcaucasians? I mean, already?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a republic.
They were ahead of their time.
They right? are.
The Republic Transcaucasian.
By the way, they don't get along anymore. For that one point of time, they had coexist stickers.
Well, when they were
on
under
their
the,
buggies and on their shanties.
When they're all under the Soviet yoke,
uh-huh.
They were, in a sense, forced to get along. And then they went their separate ways and then went to war with each other, as happened in the former Yugoslavia, for instance.
I know what the Soviets did with their yoke. The yoke's on us.
Yeah, right. Soviets were...
We got it now.
Yeah. This is in Johnson County. You have to think about this. That was like about 20 different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
And a county that is as homogenous and as white bread as any county in America.
That's right.
And then the question is, how did they get there and what are they in for? And I went through some of the crimes. The crime that was most frequent was child rape.
Oh, okay.
There was in the list, there was only one homicide. And that guy was from France, right? You don't expect that, you know?
Yeah.
I think someone.
Must have been something sneaky like poisoning or something.
Now, someone stole his croissant and got upset and had to hammer the guy over the head with his baguette until he died. You know, the French are. They don't commit any murders typically, you know. Usually it's sex crimes, as in the Pepe Le Pew school of. Can you give us a Pepe?
No, but they can. Thank heaven for little girls. Marie Chevalier.
You know, for people who did not grow up with Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, my little pigeon.
He was the Harvey Weinstein of the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, he was a takeoff on Maurice Chevalier.
He was, right.
That was a... Warner Brothers did a lot of the Hollywood characters back in those 1920s, 30s cartoons.
But he was... the reason we don't see him anymore...
Yeah.
It's because he was a Me Too movement. Did him in.
Yeah, he got a little carried away. I think when they caught him in a motel room with...
An underage cat.
Underage cat and with Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
They were together on a deal,
right.
A trafficking thing.
You know, I was just driving here and I was listening. This may date me in some ways that are probably going to be unflattering to my fan club, but I was listening to the Pat Boone Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about his hits. He's had like 100 hit singles. And in the 50s, Pat Boone was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the biggest.
Known for his white bucks or saddle shoes.
Right,
or...
and sang kind of songs. He was the kind of guy that girls' fathers wanted them to go out.
Yeah, he made Ricky Nelson look like kind of a biker guy or something.
Right. April Love and Love Letters in the Sand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what his number one best-selling song ever was?
It might have been that rehash of the AC/DC or something like that that he didn't know.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Really?
Yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez. For some reason, I kind of have a little memory of that.
I have a hard time humming that. But I have a hard time humming, Jingle Bells. I mean, it's not humming is not my strength.
Well, you know, that's kind of weird that Pat Boone would associate with such a Lothario, because you know what they say about Speedy Gonzalez.
No, what do they say about Speedy Gonzalez?
He knows everybody's sister.
There you go. I'm calling 911 again on you. I mean, racial jokes.
Hey, Manuel. That little mouse, he's too fast for us. Yes, Jose, we'll never catch him.
There was, again, for people who are too young to remember, there's Jose Jimenez, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Dana.
Yep.
Who built a whole career around.
My name is Jose Jimenez.
Right.
Kind of did an Andy Kaufman type
thing. Yeah, he did, before Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Andy Kaufman is actually dead, or is it just a...
It's much more likely that he's dead than it is that Epstein's dead.
I would say so. It's
I don't know about Epstein,
right.
But I think Andy's had it.
I think he did too. That's a hard act.
He's too much of a ham. He would have been out there by now.
That's a hard act to sustain. So, you know, the as we look down the road, though, we will be seeing this summer, and just I think should put out a program in advance as to what to expect at the Democratic Convention 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably a little too young to remember the 68 convention.
I do remember the riots. I even remember the riots here.
Yeah.
Before then.
But 68 was unique to the Chicago Democratic Convention when it was, at that time.
I was 13.
Yeah. I was of the right age to be there. And they had recruiters come to campus trying to get people to go.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
You were at Purdue?
No, actually, that was for the... I was at Purdue for the Days of Rage.
Mm.
And they had recruiters come for that. They were, for Chicago, they were just put out the call, you know, through whatever means of communication they had. But I went to see Mark Rudd, who was one of the original Weather Undergrounds, come to Purdue, which was described by Newsweek accurately as a hotbed of student rest, you know, and try to recruit people for the Days of Rage, which was just a bunch of nut jobs running through streets of Chicago.
Yuppies, basically.
Yeah. But 68 was big. There was multiple thousands of them came to Chicago to allegedly for peace, right? Rioting for peace. And but they became heroes. They all became folk heroes. Unlike the people who rioted on another day in American history, which we can't mention even on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Who became villains and, you know, evildoers. But no, they became heroes. And they would tour college campuses individually. The Chicago Seven, mm-hmm. the seven who went on trial, whose case was eventually thrown out. They just made a movie a couple years ago, you know, glorifying an extended TV show with Aaron Sorkin, their, you know, the clever script writer for all things leftist, which he penned, right?
Wow.
And but those, that was then. This is today. And the friction among these our letter groups, the C's, the O's, EXIs, D's, not to mention the BLMs and the LGBTQs.
ENCYCLOPEDIA.
MISSISSIPPI. Will be fun to watch. The no, that was actually my indoctrination to when I really got involved in politics. I was at the point of, I was 20 that summer, I was at the point of finding my political identity. Because I grew up in a total Kennedy neighborhood, you know, it was an Irish Catholic neighborhood, and we're all for JFK and whatever. I didn't know what his, people said, what was he for? I said, whatever he was for, I was for. We're all for. We didn't even know what he was for, right? I mean, there was no platform. Actually, the differences between parties was relatively minimal then. Between him and Nixon was close to negligible when you think about it. But it was all personality. And the theme was that the back in the early days of diversity is our strength is that his faith, his religion, he was nominally, you know, he was certainly ritualistically a Catholic. There are many commandments he ignored routinely. But
he carried a missal and went to church.
Right, right. Big family.
Mass,
right. Yeah. And all the, he was the first Catholic president.
The only real Catholic in that bunch was Teddy. Yeah.
Well, he believed in baptism. Just a Mary Jo Kopechne wasn't really keen on it at the moment.
No.
Full immersion baptism, that's not right. A very Catholic thing. That's
no.
She said, hey, it's kind of a Baptist thing you're doing over here, you know? Oh, no, Teddy said, God, hang on down there. We'll be with you. We'll get you. And that our love child will die with you or whatever. Mary Jo Kopechne used to live in my apartment building.
Really?
We didn't live there simultaneously. They had moved out and up before we moved in. It was a housing project in Newark, New Jersey, where I grew up. And the source of my book, Untenable, the true story of white ethnic flight in America, from America City, is a book I haven't mentioned in
weeks.
Yeah. Hours, you know. But no, that was then. And then, so that his integration into the whole general culture was kind of a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it is Catholicism was not what was going to cost him the election. It was what got him the election.
Mm-hmm.
So in Essex County, New Jersey, where I lived, went 3-2 for Eisenhower in 1956 and went 3-2 for Kennedy in 1960. Mm. It was purely the Catholic vote driving that. In my neighborhood, I didn't even know a person. No one would dare put a Nixon sign out. It'd be like putting a George Wallace sign out in Harlem. And you just didn't do that.
The shy Tory effect.
Right. And so now we're so fully integrated into Catholics are so fully integrated. Now we have our second Catholic president, and he's so firm in his Catholicism that he could go to an abortion clinic and make the sign of the cross, right? How's that for a little, that little pentagram, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coming to the fore in our coexist bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Satan is loose in the land, and I think more people are beginning to see it in those terms.
Yeah. There was a time when I would be hesitant to even articulate that opinion.
Yeah.
You had to work around it somehow and say, it's diabolical.
Yeah, that's the word.
And then they'd be like, well, yeah, it is kind of, but I don't think the devil's involved.
Yeah, but fortunately, here at Real Media Studios in Overland Park, Kansas, where we do our show, it is a source of sweetness and light, and it's celestial in
it
its
is.
Lightness here. And give them a call, by the way. Anyone if wants to do not just a show like ours, but who interested in full range of production services from audio, video, everything you could possibly do in between.
They're positively angelic.
Yes. Pause.
You hear
four more years. Four more years. Anyhow, we'll be back next week, guys. We'll see you then. Thanks, Loy.
Thanks, Jack.
And Carly, thank you. And thanks for getting up our new we'll call our show Coexist, maybe.
Yeah.
That would
be a good
kind of
idea.
Cool.
I'm tired of that old name with us in
Upstream, yeah. I had to do a new voiceover. Until then, folks.
Good night.